since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome here. This is Danny. You're listening to Gamertag Radio, a brand new episode here. And because, you know, we're getting ready for the end of the year, I have my wife from What's Good Games, Rihanna Emanuel Pena. What's up, Rihanna?
Hello, I'm here. What's up? Lots of stuff is up. We have so many games we're playing right now. There's a lot going on at the end of this year. And 2023, quite the year. Quite the year to be a gamer, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And also, we're expecting a child.
We're expecting a baby.
Yeah.
She's almost done cooking. If you're hearing this, it may have happened.
Yes,
so,
yes.
Coming to you from
the past.
A distant past before we were parents, where we still got maybe a little bit of sleep. We'll mm-hmm. see.
Well, I know people are probably going to be asking, like, you as a gamer and also working in games, how's it been your journey this year, you know, through this pregnancy for you?
It's been a lot. Of course, for folks who are paying attention to the industry side, there is, you know, some shadow over our gamer joy. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of layoffs, a lot of restructuring and downsizing across the industry for studios with good games, studios with struggling games, studios who haven't even gotten a chance to put out a game yet.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, shout out to Wolf Among Us 2. I hope that's still doing okay with Telltale. But yeah, it's been a rough year in the industry, I gotta say. And as somebody who works on that side of things, it's not a comfortable spot to be in. And I gotta be honest, going away for maternity leave when so many people are struggling to find work is hard.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. I want to be there for my friends. I want to be there for really good talent who deserve to have their work seen and to be mm-hmm. compensated fairly for it. So I try my best to be there for people, but also got to be here for this growing family that we have. So it's been a lot to manage all at once. Mm-hmm. And also at the same time, managing all this joy that I have because we're getting such great releases finally.
Yeah, this year has been amazing on that part too. So it's kind of awkward with like best year in gaming, but also worst year in gaming.
Lots of
too,
roses
right?
and lots of thorns. I gotta say, it's been a very mixed year. Again, as somebody who works on both sides,
yeah.
So covering games versus, you know, being on the teams that support people who make games, it's a mixed bag, I gotta say. But mm-hmm. it's definitely been busy. I will admit that. There's been a lot of attention, and games are more popular than ever, which is great for mm-hmm. long-term forecasting. And I know that there are lights at the end of a lot of tunnels. And hopefully, you know, as an industry, we can turn things around and really rally behind each other to keep making amazing experiences.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about again, this is not a Game of the Year episode, because I'm going to do that with Pete and Paris very, very soon. But this is more of a conversation like, is 2023 best year in gaming overall? As a fan of games, I think so, but we'll talk more about that in a few minutes. But first, head over to GamertagRadio.com. Listen to our past episodes. Also, you can find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. We're there. Follow us, subscribe, and also post your review. You could do the same with What's Good Games.
Yes, too. Please. We love 5-star reviews. We love comments.
Yeah,
we've gotten
love.
Some funny ones lately that we've been reading on the podcast and that's in good. Private. So really get a kick out of that. And we like hearing what you think of our show.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And also, if you guys would like to be part of our FanMail discussion, FanMail edition, I love doing a whole episode just questions from the fans.
Those are fun.
Those are my favorites, honestly. This is how you could be part of the show.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Ree. Is 2023 the best year in gaming? Now, I'll go back. Mm-hmm. There's 2 years that stood out to me in the past. 1998 in 2007, mm-hmm. especially 2007. There was a Call of Duty, brand new Call of Duty game. Took multiplayer to the next level, I remember. Mm-hmm. Halo 3 came out that year. Mass Effect came out that year. BioShock. It was nonstop games. Great, great AAA games. This year has been a mix of AAA, indie games, mm-hmm. and a bunch of surprises that people were not expecting games to be the best.
We'll get to some surprises.
Yeah, we'll say that towards the end. But man, this year has been amazing. Actually, the beginning of the year, we were expecting, you know, a game like Forspoken to come out, and I thought it was going to be good. Mm-hmm. It didn't start great.
Yeah.
But after that, Hi-Fi Rush, what was another one that came out earlier this year? Death Space Remake, amazing. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of other ones too that came out around
that time.
It's
hard to go back that far, right? It feels like forever ago.
There's so many games.
Let me pull up a list.
So many games. Actually, I have a list over here too. There's a lot. There's a lot that came out. Actually, I'm going to tell you right now in a few minutes, a few seconds here. Hi-Fi Rush was a big surprise. That one just came out of nowhere.
Was going to be one of my on the list of surprises, but mm-hmm. you jumped ahead on me.
Yeah, and also, well, no, I'm talking about like, They came out early in the year. I'm not saying that overall the biggest surprise. But I know that was a disappointment too, because I remember I was excited for GoldenEye to come out. And I thought it was going to be a lot better. So when that game came out, there was a lot of controversy about it because there was no online version for the Xbox platform. But you could play online on the Nintendo Switch version, but they were also having lag issues. It was just chaotic. People were not happy about it and everything like that. So, was there anything that stood out to you around the beginning of the year that stood out to you?
Not yes and no. I mean, honestly, I think the beginning of the year, aside from Hi-Fi Rush, which as I just mentioned, was one of my biggest surprises of the year. So, you know, that kind of gives you a preview of what I would talk about at the end of this episode. Mm-hmm. There were quite a few disappointments. I got to say, I had a lot of hope for Forspoken. I had a lot of hope for Redfall.
Redfall. I forgot about Redfall. Oh, my God. That was a disappointment. Yeah.
That was a tough one.
That's a tough one.
I know there was a lot of disappointment in general about excuse me, what is this called again, Atomic Heart, more so about, like, you know, the people who made it and all
the controversy. Yeah.
So there were a few bummers, I would say, at the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. But it did start to turn around. You know, we got of course we got Diablo, mm-hmm. which, you know, turned a lot of frowns upside down. We got Destiny Lightfall, which is the finally DLC that finally got me back into Destiny for at least a little bit. Mm-hmm. So there have been some brighter spots, but I gotta say the summer has been largely dominated by anticipation of September and October and all of the releases that we're in the middle of right now as we record this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. That was a big time for us. Yeah,
because we got the Xbox Bethesda showcase. Mm-hmm. We saw a lot of really amazing games that are coming this year and coming in the future that we are so hyped for now, right? And some of which we've seen. We got that deep dive with Starfield, and as we know, that was
best presentation.
Such an incredible presentation. That actually changed my mind for Starfield. I want to go back maybe a year, I guess, when we heard a little bit more about Starfield, mm-hmm. at the previous Xbox Bethesda showcase, and it seemed like they were promising everything to everyone. And I'm not a huge realistic space storytelling fan, right? Like, I prefer a high fantasy setting, mm-hmm. Even though I still haven't finished Skyrim. But it's really tough because I didn't initially have any interest in Starfield at all. I on What's Good Games had said, like, yeah, I don't know, it feels empty, or, you know, you're gonna just fly around and there's nothing to do and you're by yourself, and what are you supposed to do, like, hang out with a bunch of space plants? But mm-hmm. then we saw that showcase, and especially that extended look at Starfield, and there was so much game there. And a lot of times that'll actually send me in the other direction and turn me off, right? Mm-hmm. We've heard a lot more recently about people burning out on Assassin's Creed and how bloated those games have become. As much as a lot of people enjoy them and there's lots of content there for your money, it can be overwhelming, right? To have all of these icons on your map that you have to go clear out, or having all of these achievements that if you want to try to 100% a game, or having all of this story to discover when you really don't have that much time to play. And it didn't overwhelm me either. And that's just, that was such a surprise, because it really made it clear that that showcase really made it clear for Starfield, you can choose the game that you play. You can choose to become a space pirate. You can choose to finish the story, or you could choose to become a zoologist and build a little outpost and live out your days. Like, there's so many different ways to play it. It's almost like a life sim. And obviously, since the game has been out for a little bit now, people have had all kinds of different experiences within Starfield. Mm-hmm. But what I love the most is that no two are really the same. And I was not expecting to be that excited about the game, but I was. And when it came out, I absolutely loved it.
Yeah, you know what? I know we talk about Starfield. I know we actually posted our review a couple weeks back of Spider-Man 2, which is another game, Ree, as a Marvel fan, that game is amazing, amazing. Now, I'm going to go back, and this is something that we probably haven't talked about, but the PS VR 2, I think that it had a lot of potential, and I think it still has potential.
That Horizon experience was pretty cool.
It was cool, right?
Call of the Wild?
Can't remember the exact name. Actually, I'm going to look it up, because it's been a while. What's the name of this Horizon? It's been a while, guys. Look, this is like at the beginning of the year.
Apologies.
I don't remember. It's a Horizon game, but
I'm blaming it on Baby Brain.
Yeah, it's a for the VR 2. But I think the mistake that PlayStation did was not having this cheaper price for people to actually buy this. Way too expensive. Plus, the PlayStation 5 is not cheap. So you're basically paying $1,000 if you really want the full experience, if you want VR and the console.
Right, because you can't get the VR system without
the PlayStation. System. Yeah, and it only works on the PS5. Mm-hmm. Now, if you have games on the PlayStation 4, there's actually VR games, it's not compatible with this. That's another thing that was kind of like, and I get it, the technology, this one is a lot different than the previous one. I enjoy the device. I think, and you guys know about this, but I talked about this multiple times. I'm not a VR game, but this device really impressed me. It's just right now, if you fast forward a couple months later since the release, there hasn't been any major software that will make me go back and use the device. I think the ones that launch, I play with it and I moved on. Then why am I going to go back if I'm playing Spider-Man, Starfield, Hi-Fi Rush, like all these games, Forza,
Mario
Wonder, like there's so many games. Why should I go back and play a VR2? If there's no content there, you know?
Well, let's talk about hardware for a second, because PlayStation has had 3 drops so far this year, right? Mm-hmm. They've had the PlayStation VR 2, which we're talking about now. Mm-hmm. They did the PlayStation Portable, which is...
Is that already?
Announced. And people have had their hands on it.
Yeah.
And now, more recently, we see the mid-generation upgrade for the new slim version of the PlayStation Digital with an attachment disk drive that costs more, but does give you, I think it was 125 more gigs of space, but also requires a stand to put it...
You have to buy that separately.
Yeah, separately to put it vertical. So there's been a couple of hardware drops that have come out of Sony this year that I honestly find as head scratchers, because the audience for them seems so small. And I think it seems to be a trend at this point, at least for this year's announcements, that, you know, the PlayStation VR 2, as you just said, there's only a handful of people who are really, really invested in buying that. There's only a handful of people who have a use case for a portable console that still has to be tethered to the internet and doesn't have the ability to play on the go. And there's only a handful of folks who can afford another PlayStation or their first one, but that has you know, an additional price tag on it that the current gen doesn't. And it's really a bit of a head scratcher for me, honestly.
Yeah, you're right. What is the point of, okay, as a PlayStation 5 owner, why would I go and buy another console and it's even more expensive than the one that you bought at launch? Well, I'd rather just keep the same one and continue playing my games through that device, through that console.
Yeah, or if you don't have one, why would you get one that's more expensive?
I'd rather go with a cheaper one.
Yeah, I mean, I understand it's a few inches shorter.
Yeah.
If space is that much of a premium to you, but I can't think of anybody who would compromise a few inches of the height in order to save $100.
Yeah, I 100% agree. 100%.
So it's confusing for me, honestly, and I would love to understand more of the long term vision from Sony on these different hardware announcements, because as you know, we have the Series S and the Series X. That's it. We got a black Series S with more space, a terabyte more space, right? Or a terabyte
it's
total.
It's a terabyte.
So 500 gigs more instead of 125 more in the slim PlayStation Digital. And that seems like an easy, yes, I need 500 more gigs because these games coming out are almost 150 gigs by themselves. Mm-hmm. So I just want to understand better as a consumer, as somebody who has a PS5, as somebody who would buy another one if it made sense, I want to know why.
Yeah, and there's a couple other things too I want to talk about besides the hardware, but this year we got a good year for fighting games. Mortal Kombat,
huge one. Fighting games, RPGs. RPG, they've seen fire this year.
Street Fighter, a big one too. I know Riot is working on a new fighting game too. Like it's getting a lot of great feedback from the fans. Like people are very, very excited about all these games that's been coming out this year,
especially
from the fighting genre. But yeah, I know RPGs. Tons of RPGs have been coming out this year.
I mean, I think everybody took note that Elden Ring made such a splash last year. Mm-hmm. And of course, we know how games are developed. Nobody started any of the things that are releasing now last year after Elden Ring. Mm-hmm. However, the marketing for it definitely got pushed, right? You see people market, this is a single player RPG, a lot more now than you used to see before, because we know the audience is actually out there, especially for something like Baldur's Gate, where Diablo is, you know, pushing multiplayer. It's that repeat customer. It's that loot grind. It's that party up with your friends. But for Baldur's Gate, which was such a splash, right?
Huge
impact. And not even on all consoles or all platforms either. Mm-hmm. First coming out on PC, then a little bit later PlayStation, and, you know, down the line Xbox. For it to sell so well and to be so well received, where it's primarily a single player experience, you can party up, of course, but like most people played it solo. Mm-hmm. So impressive, right? Because something that big and something that specific, it's a D&D inspired classic RPG single player adventure. Mm-hmm. It sounds very niche, but it was such a hit. And that's really encouraging. I love seeing different genres get more support and more shine and, you know, more widespread acceptance, because that just opens up the door for so many different things down the line.
Yeah, and also games like Super Mario Bros. Wonder.
Yeah.
Pikmin. New Pikmin game. You got hooked. That was your first time playing Pikmin,
right? That was my first Pikmin game, yeah.
Like, Nintendo did a pretty good job this year with content. Not perfect, but they had F-Zero 99. I'm hooked with that. Mm-hmm. That's a free game that's available. You can go and play. Like, the company's been releasing some great, great content. And now, this whole year, we've been talking about and back and forth about Activision, Blizzard joining Xbox. And
so as of this recording, as of today,
it is officially
done.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah. And that's cool, because I can't wait to see what's going to happen next within the publishing, the companies. And there's people that work at Activision, they're very excited about the future.
Yeah,
very
happy excited for the workers, and I hope that is proven. I hope their faith is proven justified, because again, everybody deserves fair working conditions and to be compensated properly for their time and their effort, and to have good work life balance. Especially people who make things that are just pure miracles. These games, they're miracles.
I mean, this year has been great, and also, we went to Summer Game Fest. There was a lot of games that surprise me there too, you know, like
are we getting into the surprise section?
Not surprised yet, but I'm talking about like more of wasn't expecting it, and then I'm like, wow, okay, I can see myself playing this game, you know.
I will name a couple other ones that I know were highlights for you that you may not even remember because it's just been such a stacked year.
Oh my god, which ones?
Minecraft Legends.
Oh yeah, that was a pretty good game. That was a pretty good game. I honestly, that was something because I love the previous game, Minecraft. What's the name of the Minecraft? Oh my god, it's been a while.
We're forgetting a lot these days.
It's a lot. But anyways, yeah, the newest Minecraft game that came out is really, really fun. I had a good time with it.
Another one, Dead Island 2.
Dead Island 2 was a pretty good game.
It's a solid single player Dead Island game.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, there was more that I was expecting. Mm-hmm. I was expecting this to be more open world. But hey, you know what? It's fine.
I'll give you another one. Star Wars Jedi Survivor.
Oh my god.
That was this year.
That was an amazing game.
Isn't that wild?
And we went to the event.
It feels like years ago when all of these came out. And going back to your original question, is this the best year in gaming? I would say yes and no. But is this the best year for games? Or for gamers?
For gamers, yes.
Absolutely, hands down. There are so many different experiences that were just so memorable and so worth it. You know what I mean? Like, they really gave you value. And you mentioned Hi-Fi Rush. It's a rhythm action game. Like, we got a very intense D&D RPG game. And then we have this amazing Star Wars saga game. Like, there's just so many bangers in 2023. I really can't see another year holding up the way this one has for the releases. Obviously, the industry is a whole other conversation, but for the releases, sheesh.
Are you ready for this one?
Yeah.
Hogwarts Legacy.
Hogwarts Legacy. It was a big hit.
The new Zelda game. That was pretty big. Oh my
god, I forgot about
that. That was a pretty big one.
Okay, now let me just say this. Yeah. How is it possible that I forgot about Zelda?
That's crazy.
That's how great this year has been.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Zelda was already at the top of my GOTY list when I played it, and now I can't even remember it happened.
Yeah, so Diablo 4, actually, this is the highlight for me this year was, and this is more like attending events.
Yeah.
Going to the Diablo 4 launch event, Ree. Oh my god.
That
here
was quite
in Los
the party.
Angeles, that was a party. That was red carpet, like for an RPG.
Yeah, we saw some celebrities.
Celebrities that level. Blizzard went all out for the launch of that game, and it was very exciting. Plus the packaging,
yeah,
really, really cool.
Lilith flew down from the ceiling, and they projected the opening sequence of the game on her blood cape.
It was
it was quite the spectacle. If there's anybody who's listening who has not seen the pictures from that party, look it up. It is very impressive.
Yeah, very, very impressive, man. Now, Ree, is there anything else that also came out this year? I know Pikmin 4 was a good one. I'm excited that a game like Ratchet and Clank came out on the PC finally, because that was a very amazing game when it came out for the PlayStation 5. By the way, Disney Illusion. Another game. It was sick.
That might make my surprise list. We need to get to the surprise list.
We have to very, very soon. Very, very soon. And we're going to wrap it up very, very soon. But I'm just going to think. I'm looking. You know what? Immortals of Avium, Ree. What you think?
I think Immortals of Avium has a really great potential. I think it didn't quite reach the bar that maybe we were hoping it would.
Yeah.
I love a new IP. I love new lore.
Same.
I'm very intrigued by the idea of, you know, was it like a magic shooter, right? Mm-hmm. The fact that you have three fire types, bullet types, but it's magic based.
Mm-hmm.
First person is always a hit or miss for me personally, but I think that it needed more time. And it came out in such a crowded space.
Very crowded. And it got delayed multiple times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And delays are hard, right? Especially for a new studio. And it's tough to make that call if you're at the top. And I understand the difficulty that they were facing when they were making these decisions. It does seem like it needed more time to bake and really flesh out the polish in order to land a little bit better. And it just... it didn't measure up the way that some of the other leases in this fall have.
I'll tell you another game that I know you got to play a lot.
Yeah?
Fae Farm. And also, what's the name of the Disney game that's similar, the one that was on beta?
Oh, you're talking about Dreamlight Valley?
Was that this year?
That's been in beta forever.
Okay, sorry. But I know you've been playing, because there was a lot of content that came out
this year. There's a lot of content. Yeah, they've been doing really regular drops, and they've been fantastic. Yeah. But that game is not technically released yet.
Okay, well, what about Fae Farm?
Fae Farm is great. And I would say if there's any people who are loving the cozy genre, which is really fun. I like that that term is out now and that people are recognizing cozy as a game genre.
Yep.
I can't recommend Fae Farm enough. It's definitely up there.
Yeah, really, really good. Highly recommend Spider-Man 2. Once again, I got to mention that very quick.
That's an easy yes.
Also, as of right now, I haven't played Alan Wake. I know this is a recorded version of the audio, but maybe you could go back to the previous episodes and I'll have my Alan Wake 2.
I can't imagine review. You saying anything other than, oh my God, I love this game so much. It's so wonderful.
Honestly, that's my most anticipated game of 2023. There's no Zelda, no Starfield, no Spider-Man. It's Alan Wake 2. I'm a huge fan of Alan Wake. Huge fan. And shout out to Remedy for giving me multiple opportunities to interview Sam Lake during Summer Game Fest and also during the event, the hands-on event that they had here. And I know YouTube promoted the interview on social media, which really, really cool to see. And people have been hitting me up saying like they really enjoy the conversation I had with Sam Lake. So, but the stuff that I played the event, it's amazing. Amazing. I can't wait to play the full version. But I know you wanted to say something.
I'm looking at the list again.
Yeah.
WrestleQuest.
Mm.
How did we forget about WrestleQuest?
Game too. Oh my God, I forgot about that game.
This year. It's just there's nothing like it. I know 07 was great. Like I'm almost like Kanye. Like I'm gonna let you finish. 07 was great.
Yeah.
But the number of bangers this year, it's really hard to compare.
Cocoon.
Well, don't break all of my ice.
No. Like, no, I'm saying like I just know because
I'm going to talk about that at the end of the show.
Yeah, okay. But Paris loves Cocoon. Loves Cocoon. I haven't really been playing it. So.
Viewfinder is another one Paris put me on. He's played that at Summer Game Fest, I think.
Sure.
Viewfinder is another, minimal input puzzle game that really starts mind-bending. I think Superliminal is another one that's similar, if you're familiar with that game. And for folks who haven't heard me talk a lot about it on What's Good, or they haven't heard me talk a lot about it on Gamertag, I love puzzle games, especially mind-bending ones. And Viewfinder is definitely one to check out.
I gotta play that. And is that on Game Pass?
I don't know. That's a good question.
If not, I'll get it on Steam or whatever.
Play on the Steam Deck.
Trying to think if there's anything else.
Dude, there's so much. Yeah,
there's a lot.
Sea of Stars was this year. Goodbye Volcano High.
Yeah.
I mean.
So.
Wait, Final Fantasy?
Here's another game.
Danny, Final Fantasy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Final Fantasy.
That was a really good one. And also this year.
Oh, my God.
Super Mario RPG, Super Mario Brothers Wonder. I actually enjoyed Sonic Superstars. I had a really good time playing that game.
Yeah.
I had an amazing, amazing time playing that. And shout out to Sega. They sent me an early copy of that game.
Yeah.
I played it on the PlayStation 5. Yo, great.
I know a lot of people really love El Paso Elsewhere. I haven't gotten a chance to play it yet.
Oh, my God. You know what? I'll stay quiet about that game, but all I'll say is
I love
El Paso Elsewhere.
Yeah.
It's so good.
We got Mortal Kombat. We got Lies of P.
Lies of P. Oh, my God. I forgot about Lies of P.
I'm literally just going down the list. This year is ridiculous.
This year for gamers, has to be the best year in games.
And I'm not even at October on the calendar yet. Assassin's Creed, to the Basics.
You know, I know there's people that love Assassin's Creed Mirage. Not for me, but I know people love it.
Yeah.
They had a good time.
Going back to simpler times. just a couple that are coming up that we, again, coming to you from the past, haven't played yet, that I'm excited for. We got 30 Suitors is coming out later this year. We mentioned Super Mario RPG. Mm-hmm. Of course, you mentioned Alan Wake already. Jackbox Party Pack 10 is coming out soon. I know we'll play that a lot in this household for sure.
Oh, hell,
especially with family over. City Skylines is coming out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The second one, City Skylines 2, of course. Like, it's just, I literally cannot fathom. Oh my god, yeah, Modern Warfare 3. Like, I can't fathom another year coming close. And to, again, I keep saying this, but to the variety of great games, mm-hmm. right? It's not only the number, it's like how many different genres we have that are just absolutely killing it. And it may be because we're later in the cycle, and maybe because during COVID people got super creative at their houses or mm-hmm. whatever it is, like the fruits of all the labors of the last few years are really, really sweet this time around. So 2023, hands down, best year to be a gamer.
And I have to say this, and I just remember this year I went to Super Nintendo World.
You did. You didn't take me.
That was like a dream come true because I
had to work.
Yeah, that was something that, and thanks to Andrew Renee for inviting me to be part of the event. And this is like early, right before the crowd went in. This was like only open for creators and media. No lines.
Mm-hmm.
I was just enjoying it the moment. That was a lot of fun. Also, this year, Reed, we experienced this together, the release of the Super Mario Brothers movie.
Oh my gosh, what a standout film.
Amazing. We left the theater like, wow.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah.
That was cool. And just hearing the crowd at the theater just laughing, we're like, oh my God. Like, it was just amazing. People were clapping. Yeah. Like, it was good. It was good.
It was a great mix of nostalgia and then also seeing kids really excited. I would mm-hmm. say the Barbie movie similarly, but that was definitely more for adults. I think the Mario movie was just a wonderful time and
mm-hmm.
so funny, so wholesome, beautiful, absolutely gorgeous. They got all the sound effects in there. Yeah. The Easter egg videos were fun to watch mm-hmm. once we got home after seeing it in the theater. And yeah, it was a really great experience for sure. I'm glad that we proved gamer movies can actually do it right sometimes.
Yeah. Oh my God. Ree, forgot. The Last of Us series.
The Last of Us TV series.
That was this year. And we went to the premiere.
We did.
That was an amazing time. We went to that. And we were hooked with the series on HBO.
It was really good.
Really, really good. Another one yeah. where if you make great content mm-hmm. from games, great stories, people yeah. will watch it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, before we wrap it up, Bree, mm-hmm. surprises. Surprises this year.
Well, I have two left that we haven't already mentioned.
Ooh, okay.
In detail. I'll start with the one that we briefly mentioned and I begged you to stop.
Okay, which one?
Cocoon.
Cocoon.
Cocoon. Okay, so again, puzzle game fan here. I love all the shooters. I love all the action games, but like, puzzle games really have a special place in my heart. They're the way that I unwind. They're the way that I reclaim my mental health when I'm spiraling. Mm-hmm. And wow, Cocoon. I started this game in the middle of the week when I was really stressed out with work and baby and prep and family and all the stuff that we're dealing with. Mm-hmm. And I had a really hard time. I couldn't get past a certain level at the very beginning. And I struggled and I put it down, almost upset. Because I remember seeing this game. Our good friend Khalif Adams from Spawn on Me was playing it at Summer Game Fest, and I was watching him. I was like, oh, this is the perfect game for me. It looks right up my alley. And I was so disappointed that I was having such a hard time with it and feeling like part way too personal about having struggled. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, is my mind going? Is, like I mentioned earlier, baby brain, but it is a thing when you're sleep deprived and, you know, you got a lot of stress that it's hard to think clearly. Mm-hmm. And I got over that, I got over that hump by going away for a couple of days and coming back to it. And I cracked it. And at that point, mom was here and I was playing with her.
She was watching you.
She was watching and making suggestions and calling out things that I could do. Yeah. And when I tell you, there are some times when your brain connects with another person's brain and it's just like restorative and healing and magical. I could think again. And this game, similar to Psychonauts, healed something in myself that I didn't realize needed addressing. And since then, I played like 10 hours straight. Like, since then, is for any time I have free, I'm playing Cocoon. Mm-hmm. There's still more game. And I looked up where I am and I'm almost halfway through. and I'm like, again, 10 hours. And it's way more than I expected. It's so fun and so challenging and so rewarding when yeah. things click and you get it. The soundtrack is phenomenal. It's very limited input. You jump and you walk around. Or sorry, you click to interact with things and you walk around. That's it. So it's really simple. There's no dialogue. There's no, you know, characters you have to memorize or anything. The puzzles build on themselves brilliantly. Like, I can't say enough good things about this game. And this is a 10 out of 10 for me.
That's awesome.
And I knew I'd like it, but I didn't know it would be so important to me this year. And I love it when a game surprises me that way. The second one. And it's not out yet. And unfortunately, it's been delayed. But fortunately, for good reason, X Defiant. We have played some of the early builds and given feedback and some of the test runs. And this is a game from Ubisoft, and they're creating like this Ubisoft cinematic universe where, you know, you can play as characters from Tom Clancy products. You can play as Libertad from Far Cry. You can play, hopefully, at some point, like maybe even an assassin from Assassin's Creed in this arena-based shooter. And it felt really, really good when we played it. And
now beta.
In the beta. And of course, they're taking player feedback. They're going back to the drawing board. It's delayed indefinitely as of right now, but it does seem like they're taking all of that information and the playtest sessions they've done and improving the game because this was so cool. And I'm not a super fan of Ubisoft, but I like a lot of their games. And the shooting just felt really, really good.
Really good, yeah.
And I love the idea of having a true competitor to Call of Duty, but something that gives you something else and as well, right? It's not just copy-paste. The game modes felt great. Had a good time playing with our friends. Matchmaking was surprisingly competent already, which is one of the hardest things to do in an arena-based shooter. And I have a lot of excitement for this game. I hope it's still being actively worked on and that we'll see it sometime. Maybe not this year, but when it comes out, I'm going to be first in line. X Defiant really, really surprised me.
I'll tell you which surprised me. And I know you were hooked in this game too.
Oh, yeah.
Oxenfree 2.
Oh, God. How did I? Oh, my God. You're
Oxenfree
right.
2.
How did I forget?
The story.
Oh.
The story in this game is one of the best this year.
You know, I want to play that again.
It was so well done. And I look, this is coming from someone that I've never played part one.
Same.
Love the story of part two.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
It got me hooked. It got me hooked. And the things that you could do in this game, like walk around and you could turn on the radio, like just the dialogue. Oh my God, it's so good.
Great storytelling.
People need to play this game. It's so, so good. And I remember seeing this at Summer Game Fest. I'm like, oh, this is cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know I was going to get this hooked with this game.
You know, that was a good pull. I can't believe I didn't remember it.
Yeah. And you were the one, like, you played it first than me, I think.
I mean, I played the heck out of that game.
Yeah, you were like,
I love it.
Yeah. It was really, really cool.
It's the scariest game I've maybe ever played.
It's so good. So good.
I'm a big baby.
Dead Space Remake. Oh, my God. Better than the original.
Wow.
I finished the whole thing. So, so good. Hi-Fi Rush.
That surprised everyone. That shadow drop was brilliant.
Brilliant. Brilliant. And also, it reminded me so much of Jet Set Radio, that type of like look and vibe, and so, so good, man. So,
yeah, shout out to Tango.
There's so many other games. So many other games. Cyberpunk. Oh my God, what's the full...
Oh, the true Jet Set Radio.
Well, this one is inspiration. Like the successor, I think. That's what people are calling it.
Much lower fi than Hi-Fi Rush. Well, obviously, just call it Hi-Fi.
It was good. It was good. Actually, there's
Bomb Rush Cyberpunk.
Sorry. That name is so... That one came out back in mid-August, and it was really cool talking to the developer. We did like an exclusive interview. Nobody else interviewed him about the game right before the game came out.
Yeah.
And I got really, really great feedback about that conversation. But the game, so good. If you love Jet Set Radio, Jet Set Radio Future, highly recommend for you to try this out. I have it on Xbox and also on Steam.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. That game really surprised me too.
So can I ask you a question?
Sure.
What do you hope for the rest of the year? I know we only have a little time left.
The rest of the year, I know there's Super Mario RPG, which I'm excited about.
No, not what games you're expecting. What are you excited for just across the board? Like as as a gamer, what do you hope to see happen?
In 2024?
Yeah. Not stuff we know about.
Well, now that Activision is now part of Xbox, are we going to see a game like a franchise like Pitfall came out during the days of Atari? Are we going to see that, the comeback of that? I would love to see new IPs. I think it is important to see new IPs from every company. Like, yeah, we got the Zeldas, the Mario, the Halos. And I want to see new stuff like Hi-Fi Rush.
Mm-hmm. Lies of P.
Lies of P, like brand new IPs. And also, now that Activision is part of Xbox, how's it going to be like the presentation? Are they going to have their own Blizzard next, and Activision going to have their own showcase, like similar like Bethesda, to like Bethesda? Is that going to be like a 3-day event type thing? Like,
that sounds exciting.
You know, that's the part that I'm very excited. And also, Nintendo, are we going to see a brand new console from Nintendo next year? Is it going to be as powerful as the current console or close or what? That's the part that I'm like excited to, about the future. And also, honestly, Ree, all these handhelds that we've been coming out, like I know we have the Steam Deck and there's the Rogue Ally, right?
ROG Ally.
ROG Ally.
Mm-hmm. And a few more.
And there's a few more, which is hard to keep up. That, and also just surprises from other companies, like especially indie. Are we going to see indie games that is going to even surpass this year?
It's a tough sell. It's a tough sell.
Yeah. What about you?
I would like to see more categories for these game of the year lists. Mm-hmm. I think horror at this point deserves its own space.
I think it's about time.
I think we need to expand indie. It's too packed. Indie is too broad, right? That's like saying best AAA game. It's too broad. There's got to be a way to break it down better. And obviously, I don't know how, but
I tell you how one way is, instead of just putting them only in the independent category, why not put in best RPG?
Yeah, best game RPG. Of the year, RPG needs a category for sure.
Adventure game, like,
yeah, and not everybody has this.
It's not. There's a lot of games that came out as an indie game. Yeah. It's not supposed to be just an indie title.
Mm-hmm.
Put it in the genre of that game.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think we could use a not necessarily an overhaul, but just some more diversity in the different categories that we judge games. Because, again, as things expand and build on themselves and build on each other and start blending and morphing, we have so many new types of games that are out now that really can't be judged against each other the same way. And
agreed.
Yeah, I think it's time to, you know, let's spread our wings a little bit. Mm-hmm. We got more than just, you know, shooter or story or narrative.
Now, Ree, we're going to wrap this up, but, you know, next year we're going to have our daughter this year, right? And next year she's going to experience our lifestyle with games and, you know, we're going to be traveling a lot with her and all that stuff. What is something that you want her to learn about why we love so much about games?
I want her to learn that it's how mommy and daddy met. That it can bring people together.
Agreed.
That it's the reason we know so many of our amazing friends and extended family. I want her to know that gaming is more than just, you know, pixels on a screen. It can be a community. And I want her to see that. Yeah, I want her to see the good that gaming can bring. Because, of course, there is a lot of bad, like with anything. Especially in entertainment. But yeah, I just want her to see, you know, there's some really special people out here who are part of this industry and part of the community that loves what we make. And I'm excited for her to see that.
Yeah, gaming changed my life. I want her to learn like how powerful gaming is. Yeah, I know you mentioned about like, yeah, there's bad stuff everywhere. But honestly, the good outshine the bad.
It does for me.
And it does for me too. Like meeting you, playing, you know, I mean, it was Twitter, but playing Apex Legends, you know, games like that. It got us closer. I met my closest friends, Paris and Pete, was because of Xbox Live, you know, like
people things who like will that. Be in our lives forever.
Yeah. Like it's important for her to learn how gaming could change people's lives. And I want her to just enjoy with us. Like, if we could play together in the future, like, I can't wait. For the first time, that us three playing games together. Oh, that's going to be amazing.
I mean, it's going to be hard for her to avoid it, even if she is, you know, anti-gaming. Yeah, it's gonna be even her grandparents have consoles and play them all the time.
But look, even if it's just a game like Jackbox, right, we got the whole family on their phones playing that. Like, that's
fun.
That to me is powerful. Like, people think gaming is all about AAA shooters or that AAA games. You know, gaming could be anything, even if it's like from a phone or like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's so many games I play on the phone still to this day. I don't talk about it much, but I play it. Like, I enjoy it. You know, like, I have
mobile,
a good time.
Mobile does not get enough love, in
mobile
my
is
opinion.
Fun.
Mobile games fun. Can be amazing.
Yo, I played Monster Hunter Now on the go. That's something where, similar to, like, Pokemon Go, it was fun. It's not, like, something that's going to, like, oh, my God, this is, like, amazing.
Yeah.
I had a good time.
Dust of Memories Between is one of my highlights from last year. Yeah. That was a mobile game. You can play Oxenfree 2 on mobile.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So gaming changed my life and it changed yours.
Yeah.
And we're...
For the better.
Honestly, I've never been this happy. And it was because of gaming. Gaming completely changed me. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And it can do a lot of good in the world. And the world needs more good.
Yes. Yes. All right, guys. We're going to wrap it up. That was a great conversation, Reem.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me.
It's all good. It's all good. You want to promote your social or anything?
Sure. I mean, it may be a little bit different over the next couple months while we get used to having a newborn in the house. But you can find me on Twitter/X at Rihanna Tweets Now.
Oh, you call it X? Wait, Rihanna Tweets Now.
It's Rihanna Tweets Now. I'm not changing it to Rihanna Posts Now. That's silly.
Or you should put Rihanna X Now.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not, but that's Riana Tweets Now, forever and always. You can catch me on What's Good Games. Right now we're in hiatus. We're all hot gamer moms now, so we're taking care of our babies, but I'll be back with Andrea and Brittany. But that's What's Good Games, anywhere you see podcast services. Go listen to our backlog. We have a lot of good episodes. There's some fun stuff in there.
Yeah, and they'll come back sometime next year.
Yeah, and you can catch us on Twitter/X at @whatsgood_games.
I love that you use, like, /X.
Officially, I have to.
It's all good. But everyone, thank you so much for listening to Gamer Tag Radio. And make sure to hit me up on X because it's known. Twitter is known as X now, whatever. Mm. But you can find me there, Godfrey. And make sure to also hit up us on, we have a poll. Every week we have like a different question here for you guys. So just go there right now to Spotify and answer whatever's available there on the poll. Because I just love interacting with folks, man. So like I had like, are you guys interested in Alan Wake or Assassin's Creed Mirage?
Hey, do you like digital or physical? That was a good poll.
That was a pretty good one. Or another one, Spider-Man 2. Which one you're more excited to play? As Miles Morales or the original Spider-Man Peter Parker? Which one's your favorite? So like, it's good. It's a pretty great debate poll for fans. So make sure to grow right now to Spotify. All right, everyone. So until next time, get ready. We're going to have our Game of the Year episode very soon with the whole crew. Very excited about that.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear y'all argue with each other again.
Yeah. No, I think the majority of games that we're going to mention, we're probably going to agree.
Mm-hmm.
And some, we're not going to agree. So stay tuned for that. And that's about it. Until next time, everyone. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.